Kia ora. The views expressed in this program are those of the host and not of Radio Wātea, its board or management.
And welcome to Street Mix Talkback. Your host is a mover and shaker in Te Ao Māori, never shy to confront the tough kaupapa, and a warmth that gives people space to talk and hear their views. And that invitation is extended to you. It's Street Mix Talkback for people from all walks of life, sharing their thoughts, their views and opinions and ideas. And you can too, by phoning 0800 4603 603 or 2759 603. It's time here on Radio Wātea for Street Mix Talkback. And here's your host, Metepeka Raukawa Tate.
Well, kia ora te whānau. Nice to be with you this evening. I hope you are well. I've had one hell of a day, just rushing. You know, one of those days where you think, oh, I've got plenty of time, I've got all the time in the world to do things, and of course, it doesn't quite pan out that way. But never mind. I hope you've had a great day. It hasn't. The weather has closed in around the country, so it looks as if we might be in for some more rain. Hopefully not. The poor folks who just are trying to get over the last deluge, and there's another one apparently on its way, but never mind. So nice to be with you this evening. And my first guest of this evening is, well, somebody who, you know, he's thinking about the future and thinking about putting, you know, I was going to say taking it easy, putting his feet up and, you know, taking time to smell the roses, but I don't actually know if that's true or not. Kia ora to you, Tommy Wilson. Kia ora, Tommy. Nice to talk with you this evening.
You too, girl. Long time no kōrero, but good to catch up with you.
That's right, that's right. Yes, yes. Well, we've both finished our writing these days. Well, are you still writing, doing columns and things like that?
Yeah, I still do a couple. I did a column in the weekend, and I'm about to publish book number 33, so I'm still going.
33? Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah. Well, good on you. But listen, So your mahi with Tuinga Whānau, has that cut, that's actually come to a close now, has it?
Well, yeah, I've retired as the CIO, or the Chief Imagination Officer, but I'm still the kōrō there. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm kōrō kāpai now. I'm not the Chief Imagination Officer. So after 11 years, yes, I have retired.
You have retired. Okay. Now, what prompted that? Because I would have thought that there's, you know, you don't, well, I was going to say you don't seem the retiring type, and that's probably being unkind. But I mean, you know, you've always got, you're full of ideas, Tommy. So what does that actually mean then?
Well, you know, when you've done an 11-year lag, Mary Pecker, you know, that's 11 years of people ringing you up from 7 in the morning till 7 at night, 7 days a week. You kind of say, well, someone else can have a turn now. So more golf. Just came back from a month in France, taking my daughter back to where she was named after, a little village called Honfleur. Beautiful place. Just want to spend more time with my mokos and finish this book. So that'll mark a benchmark for me, because I'll have 1 million words in print, which I've always thought I could reach it. After failing school C at Mount Maunganui College, so that's another good achievement there.
Absolutely. You defied the odds and went on to be a published author.
Oh, yeah, all of that, you know. So life is good at the moment, and there's a lot to celebrate, and, I'm happy in all counts. I mean, we were away when the election happened, so you can imagine how elated I am about the Hāti Party, but we don't want to be political, but... Yeah, I'm pretty. We were standing outside the tower with our Māori flag saying, Pāti Hāti, from way on the other side of the world. So that was cool too.
Yes, I saw that. Now listen, the other thing, where was your daughter born? Did you say you've been...
No, she's here? Not. She was born here in Tauranga. Her name is Waifakata Honfleur. So Waifakata is after her grandmother, Vivens Tangitu, who was a master weaver here in Tauranga Wāna. And her mother, my wife, Sarah Tangitu, is also a weaving tutor. And her second name is Honfleur, which is the name of the village where we all came from, us Burrells and Bidwars, when we came out in 1841 to bring the Catholic faith and build all the churches and Rangiwa Āwhia and here at Te Puna. That's where we came from, this most beautiful little village by the seaside. So I took her back, we took her back, to see the place she was named after.
Oh, right. Oh, how wonderful. And was it just the two of you, three of you go, or?
And that was nice too, because last time I took 47 from the Tupuna Rugby Club. You might have remembered that about 8 years ago. We took everyone back from our rugby club back to this little village and played rugby, and it was like a babysit.
Oh, wonderful.
Babysit anybody.
That's lovely. That's lovely. So listen, so obviously now you're going to be, you know, writing some more. You've just about, so your book, will it be published before Christmas?
Carl, no, the dream was to have it published, but it's 350 pages. It's called Paperboy Writer. from the time when I started selling Bay of Plenty Times outside the Oceanside Hotel pub in the Mount, all the way through to today. So hence the name, of course, Paperboy Writer, which is a bit of a spin on the words Paperback Writer by the Beatles. And, of course, you know that I was a butler for one of the Beatles back in my day, which, again, is the reason for choosing the title of that book.
Yes, that's right. And you've really had a very, you know, I've been sort of following a little bit over the last week. And your experiences, I mean, you've travelled the world, you've absolutely lived life to the full. And, of course, then you came home again. But what a wonderful, I mean, you wouldn't have imagined it as a young boy growing up in Tauranga. You wouldn't have imagined the life you were going to live. Or did you?
No, not really. I mean, I had nothing, no qualifications. I went and worked at the Chateau as a dishwasher because, you know, I was good at washing dishes when you got 11 kids at them. You do a lot of dishes. So, yeah, and from there I got involved in the hospitality industry, trained at the Chateau for 3 years, went across to Hamilton Island, a five-star resort, and from there just worked for rich and famous people. One of them including was, you know, as I say, the Beatles, but many, many others. King and Queen of Nepal, Queen Beatrix of Netherlands, King of Spain, Albert of Monaco. You know, you get to, when you're looking after these people, you get to know them rather than, you know, it's not on an official basis, eh? So when you're cooking their kai and serving their drinks and having a laugh with them, you get to know the people, and you work out pretty soon that, you know, some of these people have got everything but not much. And that was my turning point, coming home after experiencing life driving Ferrari Testarossas and flying in private jets, to coming home to where we supposedly had nothing, but we had everything. So I had to come back to the very place I started from, Meripeka, and that's right here in beautiful Tauranga Moana.
Yeah. Well, the lovely thing about it, you know, you've had all those wonderful experiences, and, you know, you've travelled first class with some of your clients and, you know, your employers. But you've always, to me, Tommy, you've always had the people touch. I won't say the common touch, but I'd like to say the people touch. You've always been very, very approachable, very down to earth. And that's probably what's endeared you to people in the mahi that you've done, particularly over the last decade or two.
Yeah, I would say that's bang on, and that's been, I think, the secret of the success of Te Tuinga is a good half of our staff have come from the very background of the clients that we're dealing with, and the best compliment I've ever had since I was there in my 11 years was from Uncle Frank, our kaumātua at Paparoa Marae, when we had our birthday with about 50 staff there, and he stood up and he says, "You know, Tom, I can't work out which of you fellas is the homeless and which of you fellas is the staff." And that was a beautiful compliment, because that's exactly the I think the filter that we've got. You know, we've got gang leaders, ex-prisoners, many ex-homeless, and people that have turned their lives around. And as I say to everyone, you know, we get to celebrate the broken as they're put back together again, and it's a beautiful thing. Beats any of the drugs that I've tried, and I've tried them all. I had a degree in drug taking in the first half of my life, Meripeka. I had a degree in it, but now I'm going for a master's in manaakitanga. And just for the record, full disclosure, I'm 18 and a half years, 100% clean before anyone jumps up and down. There it is. Yeah. So master's in manaakitanga. That's what I'm going for.
Oh, well, that's just wonderful. And so you must have worked also in terms of with staff and your fellow colleagues. You must have worked with some wonderful people too.
Oh, yeah. The right at the top of that ladder would be the fire from behind the wire. That's Hini Wirangi Kohu. Many of your listeners will know that beautiful lady who passed away not that long ago. And yeah, she was the one that stamped tikanga right across the Korowai of Te Tuinga, and that was having her and then our connection with the Te Ao Marama unit in Waikerea Prison and bringing out those wonderful men, those leaders that wanted to make change. You know, if you go to Māmakatū now, they got a kura there, about 32 kids in there, mostly gang children that are all fluent in the reo. They know 13 karakia, they know 15 waiata. If they get to school at five past nine, go home. You know, and it's beautiful. These are all the very people that may have caused damage in the past to our little town are now turning it around, and it's a thing to behold, man. It's, you know, we need these pockets of joy in this crazy world at the moment, Meripika, and if you want to see something that's working beautifully, is this whānau that Dan and Hiria, I think you'll know Dan and Hiria, who are running that little kura and makatū. The rest of Aotearoa should have a look at what they're doing, because it's beautiful.
Yeah, well, I think half the problem is that we look for the big examples, the one where there's lots of resources have gone into them, and, you know, highly qualified staff, but the real gains that have been made with where the challenges are, you know, we tend to overlook them, and that is really quite sad, because that's where you really see, you know, the teaching and the understanding. Mm-hmm. Of people, the really real understanding of people and what has to be done to turn things around. So, you know,
That's where the diamonds are, Meripika. We made a commitment about 5 years ago. We wanted to go to the places nobody else wanted to go to, because that's where the diamonds are. And when you see these diamonds polished, like that kura, like the gang leaders we've got, you think, wow, there is hope. And hope is a powerful commodity, eh, Meripika? You know, in this world that's in a perfect storm of anxiety. You've got pandemic when the bat and the cat bumped into each other in the Wuhan wet market. And then you've got all the rest of I'm going to swear, but not really. The piss poor weather and everything else. It's the perfect storm of anxiousness, say, and anxiety. And the flip side of anxiety, of course, is hope. And we must learn how to harness hope.
Well, exactly, and so in of course in your area there in I saw the other day something about, you know, it is paradise. I mean, I think we live in paradise, particularly Tommy, when you see what's happening overseas, and I'm not just the Ukraine. I mean, that seems to be superseded by now what's happening over in Palestine and with the Israel, and to me it just seems that we've lost our ability to show compassion. I mean, I'm not talking about all of us, but certainly world leaders. You know, they just seem to say, well, you know, it, somehow it'll all come right, and we might lose about 5,000 children or so, but, you know, it'll come right in the end. Well, that's terrible. Yeah,
well, guess not. Guess what? It only comes right if we start in our own backyard, because that's all we can do. You know, start in your own whānau. Start with yourself first. Start in your own backyard, and let's go out from there, because I can't even turn the news on, Meripika. It's just too heartbreaking to see this little tamariki it's just too sad. So the only way I can find to overcome it is to find pockets of joy and spread hope. That's all we can do.
Yes, exactly. Now, listen, I guess you would have said, I mean, because we haven't got our government. The coalition government hasn't yet been formed. But I have to say, I thought, well, there you are. You've got co-governance. You've got co-governance, which is basically three parties, political parties, hoping to work together. Now, if they can't pull that off, then you can kiss goodbye to any sort of a future where there's going to be cooperation and, you know, people working constructively together. So I do hope that they'll come up with something that's workable.
Okay, well, we have to, you know, and let's just take the political portos off for a while. You know, it's been proven in the past. I mean, look, the Māori Party through Tūruru worked with National, and they'll all jump up and down and say, yeah, but they sold their souls. No, they didn't. They got about $1 billion worth of good stuff. So work with who's in there. I don't know about that fellow, the other guy, you know, he looks like a robot, but anybody, they have to have them in there. I'll see more. But, and Winston, well, come on. My mum used to bake cakes for Winston for years. We weren't allowed to say a bad word against him. But there's only so much that a Collie Noss smile can do, eh? So, you know, I've got great hope with the brother Rawiri in there. And just work with good people. Good people do good things no matter what porter they wear politically. So that's where the hope is, I hope.
Yes, well, I mean, we're sort of waiting for the outcome of the recount.
What's it been, 30 days already?
Pardon? Yes.
Has it been 30 days already?
Well, pretty much. But, you know, we're hoping that the Tamaki Makaurau seat, because we all like Pepe, but, you know, he will be returned anyway, one way or the other, because he's on the on the Labour list. So he's high on the list.
And the brother Willie's still in there, and you know, and my darling niece Kitty Tapu. I mean, what an amazing, knowledge bank that is. There's still a lot of brilliance there, and you put all that collective intellectual collateral together, and we can still do good things. Again, doesn't matter what political portal you wear. There's good people in the Labour Party. There's good people in the Māori Party, and you know what? There are some good people in the National Party. I still don't know about ACT, but we'll get to that at another time. Bring those good people together, and we've still got a good voice for our Māori people.
Yeah, you're quite right. You're quite right. I worry a wee bit though. Now, of course, you know, when I listen to, you know, the dismantling now of the Māori Health Authority.
Oh, and, yeah.
You know, we've got to make changes to the health system so that Māori gets the same access to treatment that everybody else gets. Because we know, I mean, one report after the other has told us that that's not the case. And yet, they expected, I think, the Māori Health Authority to have everything sorted within 1 year. Well, Te Whatu Ora has sorted itself within 1 year. You can't rebuild a system and think that everything will come be honky-dory within 1 year. It doesn't happen that way.
Everything won't be kapai, but again, we have to start with the building blocks, and there's some brilliant building blocks put in place, so why dismantle those building blocks when they've already been there? You know, Whatu Ora is a good example, and there are others. Some of the stuff that's been done within Māori housing, look what you've done in Rotorua and what we've done here in Tauranga Moana. Don't dismantle that, because then you have to start from scratch again. And that's the problem, Meripeke. You start dealing with a whole new set of people, and then you just get something going, and there's a whole new set of new people. And meanwhile, the little girl waits, which I mean the little girls like ours, who have built up a good head of steam, get handbraked again. So don't put the handbrake on when the waka is starting to freewheel and run in the right direction, eh?
Well, exactly. Yes, I just hope that, you know, I mean, I do hope that common sense will prevail, and that, you know, if there's a coalition government, that they will work for the good of New Zealanders. Because, you know, COVID, whether we like it or not, COVID has really severely impacted families. And that's all families.
Huge.
You know, businesses, communities.
Oh,
and I think we've underestimated it. I think we've underestimated the impact.
Yeah. We have. We've been reviewing that. Where I'm standing right now is where I spent nearly 3 months in a bunker with, you know, two staff, and we didn't know where it was going, but we kept going. We never made anyone redundant. We never laid anybody off. Even some that weren't vaccinated, we moved to the backyard. True story. But we kept the whānau together, and we approached COVID with kindness. And, you know, that's a lesson that we all must never, ever forget, no matter whose political party it is. But kindness got us through COVID. And kindness, that korowai of COVID, you know, that korowai of kindness will get us through anything. If we just apply that basic decency, Meripeke, and man, that was, nobody could foretell what was coming, and I feel araha for our ex-prime minister who got a bit hung out to dry, because she wasn't a magnificent leader at that time when we didn't know where we were going, none of us did, but we were given hope, you know, and that person, her, she gave us hope, and I'll never ever forget that. I can't say that I've always voted for her, but I will never forget what that Prime Minister did at the time we needed hope. She gave us kindness.
Yeah. Well, I think you're right. And I think, you know, with hindsight, there are some things, to be honest, I don't think New Zealanders would wear it this time, next time around. I think that we're... And that's understandable. But, you know, Tommy, at that time, we had no idea. We were watching what was happening in Italy and India, all around the world, and we thought, my goodness, if that comes to New Zealand, we'll be greatly decimated.
We would have been too, you know. It was amazing. Like we were one of the few organisations that was allowed to travel around town at night, and it was like a ghost town, Meripeke.
Yeah.
But you know, without us being there, where else could these people go? You imagine being home, COVID, and you've got no kite, and you don't know what the heck's going on. Yeah, that's a pretty tough place to be in, eh? And yeah, we got through that, so we can get through anything, bro. We got through COVID. Yeah. Come on, let's uffy up.
You're quite right. Well, look, Tommy, I just wanted to, when I saw that you're retiring, and I thought, well, here we go. You're going to retire, and, you know, good on you. I have been thinking about it. I'm going to be lessening my workload next year. I've decided right. I'm going to be doing te reo, taking some te reo classes. I'd like to do that.
Me and you were going to do that about 4 years ago, remember? We both showed up while Shane Wilson's course over there at Rotorua. But good on you. You're going to do it, eh?
Well, you're probably now fluent. I'm not.
Well, my French is better. I live in a house where it's fluent everywhere, and I'm still a bit of a tin of cocoa, but you know what? Sometimes it's what you can do for your people that matters most, you know? If we're
Absolutely.
All concentrated on just that L and nobody took care of all the other things, then I don't think we'd be any richer. So we have to recognize our talents and put that to the best of our ability for our people. That's the way
very
I look
true,
at it anyway.
Very true. Well, look, Tommy, I look forward to reading your book when it comes out. That'll be absolutely wonderful. And I know that you're going to start reducing your golf handicap, obviously.
Yeah, but Māori golf tournament first week of January in Pōneke, whānau, it's going to be big.
Oh, that's going to be great. That's going to be great. And listen, and I hope that you'll have good health as you go about the next, as you enter the next chapter your life. And that'll be exciting
as well. Yeah. Tū mona mi, Merepeka. Au revoir. Merci beaucoup. And pumare.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Tommy. Nice to talk with you this evening. Lovely to be able to talk to Tommy Wilson. Tommy has been, he's had such a very varied life. And as he was just saying, he's got his 33rd book that's going to be coming out very shortly. So, but it's just lovely. Decided no, he's just going to retire and push back a wee bit and then enjoy life. But he's still going to be very much involved, of course, over there in Tauranga Moana. Lovely to talk to Tommy Wilson this evening. Right, so let's take a song and I'll be back with my next guest very shortly.